QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, positive offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in the various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none. Are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, we have a couple of announcements here. One of them is upcoming this weekend. Got a lot of stuff happening up here in Big Bear. We have the air show on Saturday for one. There will be booths out there for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. Come on out, take a look, check it out. They're going to have an old car out there from a good friend of ours and some radio operating on, I believe, 17 meters. So third-party traffic or anybody can come out there and do that. It's going to be pretty cool. Another thing, we have Tour de Big Bear happening also. Our ECS group will be doing backup communications for that. So we will be using the repeater off and on for that during the day. So. And also, towards the end of this month, once again, August, the last Sunday in August, we will be doing ham testing at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. So, if you want to upgrade, or you know somebody wants to get that tech license, make the big step. Let them know, or come on out. That'll be the last Sunday of August at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. So, and I think that's all. Any other announcements? Just go ahead and break in there during the net. If it's important. Anyway, all right, we'll move ahead. We also intend on getting one of our Tech Tuesday workshops going on here pretty quick in this month. I know that Mike has been busy and so have I here, so we've been trying to throw this together in between work and playtime. So if you're interested in doing the Yagis, that's what we're headed for this probably towards the middle of this month. So stay tuned and we'll let you know when it's going to be. Topic for the evening before I call the roster here is we're going to discuss, and this may go into an extra week, a couple weeks here, emergency communications as a ham radio operator. A lot of the aspects here we've done in the past on this repeater, some great hams out there that have helped people in distress. Also, more than that, actually working with some of the agencies on some of the other frequencies. So that's where we're headed, and we'll get started on that tonight. So stay tuned. All right, well, let's get started with the roster here. WB6CLZ, Mike, co-host, Placentia, are you out there?
Of course. Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia. Standing by.
Okay, Mike, I don't know if you got my last email, what we're pulling from this evening, but I think that last article, the first one that you sent me, pretty good, from the site called dummies.com. I got to tell you, even a series of books, you know, like this and that for dummies, that's probably the best-selling book out there because it takes you from knowing basically almost nothing and it'll take you all the way to the top. So appreciate that. I printed that whole article out here and we'll probably pull from that this evening.
I got that. I sent you one back. I started with Bicycles for Dummies, worked to Volkswagens for Dummies, and then the last one I did was eBay for Dummies. So yeah, we like their layout. It's very simple. I can understand it. Back to net control.
All right, and it's good information there. Great information, I should say. All right, appreciate that. WV6CIN, Cindy.
WV6CIN here.
Okay, Cindy, got you in here. How about KA6CIA, George? Yeah, nothing heard. I'll see if he's out there. KE6RJ, Harry. I'll leave a little break if he's on Echolink. Nothing heard. KE6QI, Nancy, who was missing a microphone. And is still missing a microphone. Okay. How about AF6ZJ, Guy in Rosemont? Are you out there? Nothing heard. KI6SKN, Chris. All right, he's not out there this evening. How about KJ68ZS, Mike?
Evening, Tom, Annette. KJ68ZS, no traffic.
Okay, Mike, glad to have you out there. And we got a courtesy check-in here for K6EKX, if he's out there listening. Which is your dad. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Hey, good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, appreciate you being out there. My gosh, almost every, you and the other Mike, almost every week. How about KF6VH, Bob? Nothing heard. How about KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK? I think they were mobile.
We just made it into the building, so we are now homesteaded. KJ6KDL and KDK here.
All right, I want to make the announcement that Jim is in the building. Okay, good deal there. Glad to have you guys with us this evening. How about W6GZI Frank, Guy's friend from Rosemont?
Good evening, this is W6GZI Irwin Lake.
All right, glad to have you out there, appreciate that. And then, Kelly, if you're out there, if you're fixing dinner, not a problem. But KI6, we're going to call you off here. KI6IQA, Kelly.
KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, glad to have you out there this evening. Appreciate it. And I guess you did some pretty good miracles over there at Keller this last weekend. Kudos for you for that. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley. All righty, no Ron yet. How about AD6PL, Harold, in Riverside?
AD6PL.
Hey, Harold, another on time like clockwork there. And I know I heard her out there. I don't know if she's out there still. How about N6BOP, Ann from Pomona?
Good evening, that I am. This is N6BOP, Ann in Pomona, and thank you for calling me.
All right, Ann, well, glad you could join us, and I know there's a lot of people out there we don't have on the list here, and at the end, if you want to, anybody out there listening wants to get on the list, not a big deal. Check in as a guest, and we'll write your name down here, so. And K6LCS, Quint, is not available. However, I have some information on him. Pretty cool stuff, but we'll get to that in a little bit, so we'll give him a courtesy check-in. Art, don't know. You're probably out there on the road. Doubt you're going to be out there, but just we'll give you a shot. W6AWL, Art. All right, nothing heard. You would be on Echolink there. So this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, every Tuesday, conditions permitting. W6JLM Judith, hanging out lately in Santa Monica. And nothing heard. How about W6KMM, Ken? And nothing heard. Probably en route. KI6OHM, John, Big Bear City. And nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
Hey, Chris. Another good regular out there. Appreciate you sticking with us all this time and being out there just about every net, so if not all. let's see. We're moving on down the list here. How about KD6LAN, Bill? He's out there probably trying to drain the lake of fish. anyway, how about K6HAL, Rudy? And nothing heard. Moving on down here, how about AE6CK, Victor? And nothing heard. Let's see here, KE6VHM, Frank, are you out there? And nothing heard, KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone, KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, glad to have you with us this evening, and yes, the first of the month passed, and yes, I still don't have those scans. Sorry. KJ6DBS, Leon. And nothing heard. How about KB6LTY, Christy from Apple Valley?
KB6LTY.
All right, Christy, got some good info here from Clint, even though he's not going to be with us tonight, but he emailed me a lot of good stuff here. So anyway, all good satellite stuff. AE6TV, Hans. And nothing heard. Let's see, we're almost, let's see. How about NQ7RD, Rick and Corona? Nothing heard. K6TUX, Guy, and 29 Palms. Alrighty, that concludes most of the list. Anybody out there as a guest would like to check in and get your name on the list for next week? Just come back to KF6Q.
K6TVZ.
K6ALL.
Alright, I got K6ALL, I believe, and your name?
My name is John, and I'm up here in Big Bear City, up here visiting every other week or so.
Hi, John. Glad to have you with us. And Ray, WB6PBZ. Glad to have you out there. I know sometimes you're not, Ray, because dinner's on the table, and I don't blame you on that one. Glad to have you out there, Ray. Appreciate that. There was somebody prior. First one in there didn't get the call. Please come back. You're having difficulty holding a repeater, but you know what? We'll stand by. If you're mobile, if you get closer, maybe we'll get you the next time around. But anyway, almost in there, but getting a little static. Anybody else out there would like to check in this evening as a guest? Please come back to KF6Q. Alrighty, that is the list as I have it, and I'll add these new people in here. Well, Ray, I already got you in here. Sometimes you're not there. John, K6ALL, glad to have you out there. You know what? There is another John. I don't know if CYS is out there, but sometimes not. Anyway, all right, Mike, Mike, WB6CLZ, what's happening on the DX activity report?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask that. Well, here's the broken record again. Space weather. Now, conditions from all appearances, outward appearances, look good. I mean, we've got space weather reporting a sunspot number of 130. We've got an SFI of 125. Our KP index is quiet. I mean, everything looks great. By all means, we should be having great DX, and everything should be wonderful, and you know how that goes. But it's not. You know, we've got some solar flares that have been going off. We had a pretty strong one a few days back, and I tuned around the bands today, and nothing. I mean, I heard Minnesota. I've heard lots of California stations on 40. Nothing cooking. So hopefully what it's doing now is it's building up the ionosphere, and in a few days these flares will die down, and everything will be wonderful. But you've been hearing that for months now. So anyway, if anybody knows what the heck's going on, let me know, because I would like to know. Okay, so that's it. I mean, if anybody's worked any DX or heard anything on there, please come back. Back to Net Control, Tom, this WB6CLZ.
Okay, my words exactly. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else out there has been working any good DX. And Mike, you know what? Good to have that report. Good to have some idea what's going on out there, so appreciate that. Anybody else out there for the DX report? Anybody with any cool happenings or even regular happenings of DX? Please come back to KO6Q.
ROD.
Hey, Rod. How you doing? Go ahead.
I listened all week. I didn't hear a thing, and then today at 2 o'clock, 17 opened up for an hour, and I heard Russia, Japan, Sweden, worked a couple Japanese stations. Then it went back, shut down like it was all week, so it's been really weird. That's it, KA6ROD.
Okay, Rod. You know, and also a little reminder, too, out there at the air show, I believe Bill, W6BBL, our club president, is going to try to set up 17 meters out there at the show, at the air show, for demo purposes, so that could be pretty cool. Not sure if that's what he picked. I think they were going to do 17 meters, so hopefully it's open for him out there. So you guys, you get out there, wander by the booth, and see what's happening. Anybody else out there, any DX report, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, I think that wrapped that up pretty quick there, and well, when there's not a lot happening, there's not a lot to talk about. So anyway, we're going to move into the ham satellite report, and Clint is not with us this evening. However, I'd like to tell you what he is up to at this moment. Clint is being interviewed on an episode of Bob Hiles Ham Nation podcast on the Leo Laporte Twist TV network. And just for anybody for information out there, that's at twit.tv/hn, twit.tv/hn, of course, http://, before that. Anyway, and you'll be able to hook into that. In the satellite news, as I have here from Clint, let me reset here real quick. And this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. The test transmission last weekend from the ham satellite that is on board the ISS was incredibly successful, with reception reports from all over the globe. Next step is for the ARISS SAT-1 bird is deployment, which NASA TV will be carrying live for us beginning at 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time tomorrow, Wednesday, August 3rd. That will be on NASA TV at 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time tomorrow. That will be Wednesday, August 3rd. Deployment is one of the very first tasks on the Russian spacewalk crew scheduled to complete. Reset here. information on what frequencies to monitor. There's FM voice, slow scan TV, telemetry, data, all at work. All at work-sat.com. That's work-sat.com. And if you go there, that'll give you all the frequencies of what's happening. Brand new bird up there in the air for people that work satellites. So, unfortunately, our SO67 has had a software crash, which means we will not be hearing its amateur radio mode anytime soon. They have to reload the software, and as these orbit the Earth, each little chunk goes up from one location. It's pretty awesome how they patch it all together, but the reload was done throughout the Earth as it goes around the world, so it takes them a while. Keep in touch with work-sat.com as they work on restoring its ham capabilities. And that will conclude the satellite report from Quint. Very happy he emailed me this yesterday, so he still wanted to get this information out to everybody. Alrighty, Michael, WB6CLZ. Alright, operating your ham radio in an emergency. We're going to go over a couple of things here first. Mike, when we carry on QSOs, like you and me, like right now, what's probably the most important thing that we do besides identifying when we're supposed to?
I guess identifying yourself is the most important, but I don't know. I would say that, I don't know, Tom. Go give me that one, and then we'll go from there.
Well, you just did it. Leaving space. When you're carrying on a QSO on the repeater, here's, as we all know, the way the repeater works, but this is repeater 101. The repeater will hang in there a little bit after you're done, and we call that the squelch trail. You'll hear it in there, which at that point, of course, it will still repeat anything that comes in. And with that knowingly, we have to let it drop out, or it will time out after 3 minutes of continuous use. So we have to give it some space. Myself, and this is me, I like to have like 2 seconds of space before I key up after somebody. Some people out there go longer, some a little shorter, but you got to leave some space, Mike. And now, Mike, why is that important?
Now that I'm on the right track and I just jumped, didn't leave any space at all, I'm just notorious for that, but, you know, we always work on it. Well, the importance of that is if you do have an emergency, if someone wants to break in and you tail in just like I just did, they aren't going to be able to get in there, and time is ticking away. If it's a real emergency, if you know, somebody really needs attention, they need to get in. They need to get in now. We need to get the authorities or whatever they need to take, get them taken care of. So that is something that is very important.
You know, and I do. We all tend to jump in there a little quick sometimes. Sometimes I do. There are a few people out there that leave plenty of space all the time. Kudos to them. I think one of them is Kelly, KI6IQA. Leave space. Sometimes I think he leaves too much. I think he fell asleep, but that's okay. A little extra space doesn't hurt. And that's good because there's no way to get in with emergency traffic priority message information if we're flipping back and forth so fast that just nobody can get out there. And especially if that person is out there with an HT, possibly in a bad location, possibly not with a strong signal, and they won't even be heard. Mike, as a rule of thumb, what would you say, if not that we always do, but we're human, we're not perfect, what would be a target that you try to hit? You know, 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? I'm thinking 2 seconds, that's me. I think in 5 seconds, anything after that, I think, you know, we usually figure the guy fell asleep. So I don't know. Well, back to you, Mike. As your opinion, I've already voiced mine. What do you think?
I've usually always Johnny on the spot, so I usually only allow 1,001 1 second. But, you know, really, in all fairness and in all honesty, I think the 2 second rule is probably ideal. Like you say, any more, and we're going to get people doubling on each other's because, you know, they just can't wait. But I think 2 seconds is ideal, 1,001, 1,002 after the dropout. That gives people plenty of time if they're Johnny on the spot and need to get right in.
You know, and that is, I think that's a good rule of thumb, you know, and I know if we're all involved with stuff and we get really like we just want to get in there and say something. So, and with the net, we try to do that. If anybody out there listening this evening or any other evening has a question or a comment in that space, jump right in there, key up, throw your call sign out there. And, hey, you'll be identified, and we'll turn it over to you. So that's a good way to break into the net. Questions and comments are always accepted any point in time through this net, just as a reminder. But anyway, yeah, and I think another thing, too, just a little courtesy, not necessarily with emergency traffic, but when you first turn on your radio and it keys up, wait maybe a few seconds in case there's a QSO going on, number one. Number two, make sure your volume's turned up. I've done it. A lot of people have done it. You turn on your radio. You might have turned it down prior because you were doing something, and you didn't turn it back up. So you think there's nobody out there. Actually, the volume's down. So a couple of things to check as you first key up. Anyway, Mike, moving along with that, we're going to discuss a couple things here. Let me reset here real quick. Couple of things as just basic hams out there, helping the valley and helping people that have come back on this repeater. And this is just normal stuff. People have jumped out there to help. I think one issue would be recently here, I think with you and KD6LAN had a lost hiker. Just real quick for some of the people that did not know about this or hear about this, what actually transpired? Actually, you had your ears on, you were listening in, and just as kind of a summary, what went down?
Well, this was last week, I believe, and I was out working on my deck, sanding the deck down. Cindy, WB6CIN, was inside and heard somebody requesting assistance. They were hiking and they were requesting assistance. I didn't really hear the call, so I went back in and you know, I just announced station requesting assistance. This is WB6CLZ. He came back to me, and they were hikers hiking over off of Highway 38, and basically one of the people in their group had gotten lost. They were hiking, and he must have gone off, gone to the bathroom, done something. I don't know, the information, you know, wasn't there, but he was missing. So basically he called and wanted me to give him a call, get to the authorities to get somebody rolling on that to see if they can help him find the missing hiker. Reset. This is WB6CLZ on Tuesday. So anyway, I kind of got some information, and in my situation, I do not have a phone at my operating position. That will change this week because I have one sitting right here, plugged in right next to me. So Bill, KD6LAN, came by and was going to give me, I asked him if he had the number for the authorities. I was thinking that I had to call dispatch, but knowing that I could have called 911. But Bill kind of took it over and ran with it, and basically they sent a helicopter out after the guy. They located him. The issue was they were burning daylight. I mean, this was late in the afternoon, I would say 6-ish, 7-ish, and they were still 5 to 7 miles, you know, from the trailhead. So time was of the essence. Basically, it was handled. KG6YN handled it. We had a couple other guys breaking in there and giving information. And they found the guy. They got back to the, they escorted the main group back to the trailhead. Search and rescue helped them out and got the guy out of there, and everything worked out perfectly. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, and a little more elaboration on this, just for anybody out there who does not know where that went down. In that area, Fish Creek area, close to or adjacent or even part of the San Gorgonio Wilderness area, a lot of bears over there. They live there. That's where Yogi and Boo Boo live and all their friends. Not an issue with temperature or environment if the daylight went away, but we have a lot of wild critters over there. So in the summertime, that's an issue. And I think by doing what you did, Mike and Bill, you never know. We're just going to say that it could have saved the guy's life. Just put that out there. So great. Mike, to do over. Now, I know one thing, and I'm going to say this as what is recommended by the fire department. This is recommended by the sheriff's office. As hams or whatever, in an emergency, they really would like to see you dial 911. Couple reasons. First off, they have equipment there, provided 911 is working, of course. They'll record the conversation. They'll get all of the stuff so that they can play this back and get what they need. They will dispatch the proper communications to the proper emergency rescue operations to help you out. If you try to pick your own and go to the sheriff's office, it's not a bad thing. But if you go through 911, they can generally designate this out through command comm. It's probably a better protocol. But either way, to get somebody moving is the best thing in the world. So let me reset. And I know, Mike, at that point in time, I think Bill did contact the sheriff's office. Not a big thing. That's not a problem. But they actually do prefer to go through that route. And it's a matter of protocol. And we'll get into that later on here about protocol. Protocol is very important on a national disaster or a local disaster emergency, because without that, it is chaos. So anyway, let me reset. This was not an emergency, but it could have turned out to be an emergency if this had gone out of hand. Mike, KJ6HZS, helped with illegal fireworks in the mountain. And folks, illegal fireworks in Big Bear, all fireworks are illegal up here. We have a forest, and we have a lot of fire hazard up here. This is not the place for fireworks. Mike, real quick. I think you did call the sheriff's office direct, but real quick, how did that work out for you?
Well, I talked to, I guess, the sheriff's office dispatch. You know, she advised me to call 911. I said, well, since I'm talking to you, you know, send a unit out. I saw one just cruising on North Shore by the Grand Bay picnic area. That's where it happened. It was on 4th of July. Says, you know, call him back, send him around, you know. You know the area up here where the people down the hill at Comm Center, you know, they don't have a clue where Windy Point is, or, you know, Gray's Peak Trailhead or Grout Bay Campground is. And so within, 2-3 minutes, they already had two units on scene, and then enrolled Station 96, the Fonskin Fire Department, which used to be 49. So they had fire on scene with under 5 minutes, and the sheriffs were on scene within three. And that's really unusual for North Shore, but they're patrolling the highway that weekend. You know, it's a busy weekend.
Well, Mike, good eyes, good ears, and good procedure, at least, that you got somebody out there, so that's great. Even if ham radio itself was probably not used, but hams are eyes and ears out there for everybody. And that's a good thing. I think that, as we delve into that, we have other issues out there where we have people out, like where the hikers were. Cell phone service if you live in Big Bear, or if you've been up in Big Bear, you know as well as I do, there are only certain cell phones that work up here, number one. And number two, there's only a few that work everywhere. And I say everywhere with reservation, because you get off the beaten path, all of a sudden, guess what? You've got no cell service. So, fortunately, if one of these people, whether they be off-roaders or hikers, in this case, like what Mike and Bill were working on over there off of 38, the guy was a ham. He had a ham license. Mike, real quick, what if, let's say, I'm out there jeeping in my Jeep, and we hit a bad bump, and I get knocked out, and we're not really disabled, but I'm unconscious. I'm a ham radio operator, but my passenger, my friend from down the hill, or whoever it may be, is not. You know, what happens? I got a radio there. Can he use it?
Well, of course. I'm going to give you the verbiage right from the ARES manual, Amateur Radio Emergency Service. It says anyone, licensed or not, can use your radio equipment in an emergency to call help on any frequency. And that's just the way it is. I mean, in an emergency, just about anything goes.
Okay, Roger that. Now, they do not define an emergency as, like, if I don't get a hold of my wife and let her know I'm going to be late, she's going to be really pissed off because dinner will be ready and I won't be there. That's not the emergency they're looking at. What we're looking at, though, if somebody's unconscious, if there's an issue, if there's a missing person, if there's possible mayhem, if there's a fire hazard, any of these things could cause a major issue or possible threat to life or death or imminent danger to becoming involved with life or death. If you hear somebody out there and they're not, they don't even know how to use a ham radio, but they're trying to get back, the last thing we need to do is see if they're a licensed ham. We don't need to do that. We need to get their information. Mike, top of the list. Okay, we got somebody out here as an example. Let's say they're off-road, they're stranded in that circumstance. What information do we need? Because we're going to relay this. You know, what information would you deem probably the most important?
Like they say in real estate, I would say location, location, location would be the primary.
Roger that. Now, if you've got people out there and they're not familiar with the area, the first thing is they're not going to know where they are. They're not even going to know anything about that. So we need to help them with that. And if they can give any information whatsoever, another thing is if you are a ham with a Yagi and a rotator, it's possible by monitoring, just monitoring their conversation, you can get a fix on a direction and help in that by locating, you know, where they're at, even if they think they're someplace and they could be miles from that point. Let me reset. KF6Q here, Tom, on Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. So essentially, there's a lot of things there. Another thing would be the condition. Is it a fire, possible fire? Is it a possible condition medical-wise? Or are they just lost and darkness is coming on? Now, in the summer here, like I said, we could have wild critters out there. Let's flip this over to last winter when we have storms of blizzarding. I myself threw a chain. I was fortunate enough to get a hold of KD6LAN on a cell phone. But throughout that, and I do appreciate everybody out there monitoring just to be there, because there were other circumstances. And let me reset here. Bill, I don't know if you're out there. KD6LAN, are you with us tonight or not yet? Okay, he's probably still out there trying to get all the fish out of the lake. Here is one thing that after Bill and I got me squared away, chains on the vehicle and back on the road, I have to describe the conditions because this was something that went from no snow, no storm in a matter of an hour to blowing wind probably 20 to 30 miles an hour, snow coming down so fast that Tire tracks on the road were disappearing within minutes. Snow plows were still basically 20 to 30 minutes, if that, between passes, and it got even thinner yet. Vehicles getting stuck. As Bill and I came over on its summit, we had come across two gentlemen on foot. Now, let's look at this. Mike, what's the difference between summer and winter, other than the fact that it's like 20 degrees out?
Well, you know, winter, you are, if you're out there and you're not prepared, you are in imminent danger in winter. I mean, let's face it, day or night, you can be in imminent danger of freezing to death.
Exactly, and there are so many people. Let's just be kind. We'll call them Flatlanders, okay, that come up here. They're tourists. They come up. They want to experience the paradise up here in the winter, and that's good. That's good for the Big Bear economy. That's all a great thing. However, they usually come unprepared quite often, and these people, if we're hams, if we're out there, if we're on the road, hopefully we would want to be on the road at that point in time. But for these two gentlemen, Bill picked up and took into town. Their vehicle had literally gone over the edge. You could not see it. It was a soft crash. They were able to get out. They had hiked up to the road and just happened to be on the road while Bill was coming by. And we had other vehicles there also coming through. But this is a point where we have life or death going on here, because those people would definitely freeze to death. If they had not been found, if they had not hiked out. So winter, totally another reason to be, you know, aware out there and let this emergency traffic get through, of course. So let me reset. And Mike, ACS, not going to pick on you, but going back just a little bit further, we're all out there at field day, and I think FIL assisted you in this. And I'll hand it to Mike, ACS, first. Off-road biker got clipped. Just kind of refresh our memory. What happened? You were a pretty new ham, too. What happened with that?
Yeah, he got clipped by a Jeep, sent him over the cliff, screwed himself up a little bit. He had no cell service. He got the Big Bear repeater, and I just said, yeah, like I was newly licensed, and I picked that one on up. Got an idea where he was at and was able to look up on the maps and direct him in. It took a little while for them to find him because he was further back than what he was saying. But he was down there off of, out of Manzanita Flats, down there by the low ranger station off the 330 up in that area where one of the shooting ranges is at. Just relayed the messages, and he had emergency service with him within 45 minutes. But there was no other vehicles that were coming by at the time to even assist or give him a hand. But finally he got found, and he was okay.
Oh, roger that. Appreciate all the help you did there. Just fantastic of jumping in there and grabbing the ball. And everybody out there listening at this point in time, once somebody has done this, let them proceed as they can. Assist if you can. At this point in time, the repeater would be deemed into emergency mode. It was handling emergency traffic. And with all due respect to whoever is handling that, assistance is great. Sometimes assistance is looking stuff up and only volunteering information when there is an opportunity. Letting the traffic flow as it may. So kind of important to also be careful when you first turn on your radio. Make sure nothing like this is in progress. Let me reset. One more item. Oh, my gosh, going back, I do believe summer 2010, I think. Anyway, Mike, CLZ, also you were monitoring the radio. Two gentlemen stranded in the summer, out there off of Pioneer Town Road, Burns Canyon Road, stuck. So what went up with that as far as what you can remember? I know we're getting back there a little bit.
As I recall, Tom, they had called on somebody, and they were high-end, and they couldn't get one day. I think there was two vehicles, and they couldn't get each other unstuck, so they needed some help. But I think you were one of the rescue vehicles on that. You guys went out to take care of the issue. That's basically all I remember about that. I spent so long time ago. Back to you, Tom.
Hey, Mike, now I don't know if it's temperature, inversion, or whatever. You're not real strong into the repeater this evening, but we still got you on a copy there. A lot of noise behind you. But essentially, Kelly, KI6IQA, and myself simply went out there to pull the guys out. What a lot of people don't realize up here, AAA does not go off highway. Okay, you get out there in your car on one of the forest roads, you're perfectly fine, you're having a great day, you get stuck. Well, fortunately for these two gentlemen, they had a ham radio, and one was a ham operator, which that would not matter, of course, in that type of emergency, because they are stranded. They are out in the middle of nowhere. However, you know, this is just one more time where, you know, people can help people out there, and this is why we really would like to get anybody out there. You have people out there that are going off-road, tell them about ham radio. You know, that one person that we get licensed with HT in his hand, hey, that may be the one thing that saves his life one day. Okay, you never know, or somebody else, or whatever. It's a good thing to go. Anyway, let me reset. You know, with all these different aspects of ham radio, and we're just talking here with the Big Bear Amateur Repeater. We have a lot of off-roaders up here. We have a lot of winter visitors, skiers, whatever, snowboarders, all this stuff. Really great, but they do get in distress. If we're hams and we're out there, really great for people to jump in there and help out. And I know everybody wants to. You know, but whoever grabs the ball, give them some help if you can, and that's a good way to go with that. So, anyway, Mike, anything else you could add with that, and then we'll call for any comments or questions.
Well, one thing I learned from the last incident that I did not have my HT, you know, up where my operating position is, and did not have a phone next to it. So yeah, always be near a phone or have a phone. It helps rather than running back and forth. That's the main thing that I learned from that last. You know, we always try to learn from our mistakes, learn from our experiences. Yeah, have a phone near your operating position. It's always a good thing. Or have your HT where you can take it over the phone and, you know, use them both in conjunction. And that's about all for now. Back to you, Tom. WB6CO then.
Hey, Mike, appreciate that. Anybody out there with any questions or comments, please come back. This is an open topic, and we're actually going to get into the meat of this thing next week. We have a whole 4-page article here. If you'd like a copy of that, please email me at kf6q@arrl.net, and I'll get this to you. We're going to kind of go through this. I know we're going to run out of time this evening. It's a pretty good topic, and it's a good summary of what happens when things happen. And we're going to go into the details of not just somebody being stranded out there. What if we have something more serious like an earthquake or a huge 5-foot snowfall like we had a couple years ago here, or a year and a half ago, or any or all of the above. So anybody out there with questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q.
Comment.
W.
T-Y.
Okay, in the best order I can do here, I think I had Mike in there, FIL, somebody after that, and then I think Christy after that. So, Mike, KJ6FIL, go ahead.
Okie doke. Yeah, this is KJ6FIL. Yeah, I was up in Big Bear. In fact, I was up top of Ironwood Rainbow Lane in that when the Lost Hiker was calling in last week, and my best advice was right at that moment, there was nothing I could do personally. So, you know, I commend Mike and, oh God, I can't think of who else was involved with it, but they handled the situation great because I was listening to them and I was listening to a scanner also. And they made one quick rescue very possible by what they did as far as communicating with the gentleman that was relaying their lost hiker and everything. And it was a very successful rescue thanks to their part. Yeah, there's a lot of good things that happens from hams. KJ6, FIL, back to you.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't know. I know you were working up in that area. I didn't know you were there at the time. And that's true. Sometimes the best thing to do is monitor. At one point in time, there may be that one piece of missing information, whether it be a highway road marker or whatever, or some condition that maybe you can supply. So it's always great if anybody else out there is listening in to keep an ear open and help participate. You know, you never know. Batteries go dead. People that are operating sometimes have to, they will drop out. You know, they'll lose power. It'll go. So it's always good to have somebody else out there that's ready to jump right in. Okay, Mike, I had somebody else out there, and then we'll get to Christy. I think there was one other person out there. Please come back, KF6Q.
K6YNW.
Okay, Chris, yes, go ahead.
Look, hit Christy first, and then I'll do it. Thank you.
Okay, roger that. Christy, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Tom, KD6LTY. I just wanted to make a comment. I've observed, you know, of course, in real emergencies, we all recognize probably the situation over the air and the circumstances, but there's some subtleties that I've observed, you know, incidents that have occurred over the radio, and it takes a little bit of thinking or observation on the listener's part to actually discern if the other person on the end of the radio needs help. And I can I can give you one example.
Please go ahead, because I can actually probably augment that with that little bit of pulling out a stuck truck killing idea. Go ahead.
All right, real good. This happened probably, a little over a year ago. We have been listening to a 40-meter net in the middle of the day on Fridays. Don't do it so often now, but it was a regular net. And somebody checked in, and he sort of gave a little bit of information about where he was and kind of what his circumstances was, but there was another operator that picked up on it and started quizzing him more specifically, and it turns out he knew about this net. He had taken some of his equipment out to listen to it, and this was east of Death Valley, but he'd been stuck there all morning. He started to take off, was not on a dirt road, out in the middle of nowhere, and he got stuck, and he'd been trying to get out for like 4 hours. And he just decided to sit down and listen for the net, but in the process, they realized he needed help, so they stopped the net and started organizing help to go out for him. Anyway, that's just one example.
Yeah, a very good example there, Christy, and that those two gentlemen were out there off of, they were actually not on Burns Canyon Road, they were off of it on one of the many spurs that kick off of there. Not even visible from the highway. I'm going to say probably a good mile, maybe a mile and a half as a guess, off the highway. I don't even remember how we even found them. But anyway, Kelly and I both went out there, so we had double jeopardy. Basically, essentially, between the two of us, we would definitely get these people out. The problem was is they did not think they were stuck, and they probably could have gotten out after I surveyed the situation. but they could not get themselves out. That's the point. And in the first part, they were actually, they had contacted Mike, who was monitoring WB6CLZ, who relayed a phone call, did a phone patch to their relatives saying that they would be late, they had run into a little difficulty, and that difficulty just grew. The sun was getting lower in the sky. Next thing you know, it was almost dark 30 by the time we got them out and we got back. There wasn't a lot of daylight left. It was, you know, still light, but a lot of people don't realize that they are in imminent danger. And in the summertime, especially Death Valley, yes, that's terrible. Up here in the winter, same thing again. It will freeze you real quick. Let me reset. So just a little augment to that. And Christy, thanks for sharing that with us. So anyway, Chris, YNW, go ahead.
Yep, I'm on the other side of it. Any backpacking or hiking group should stick together, and this may sound kind of trite. I was backpacking in Mexico, and the guy I was with said if one finishes snacking, go ahead and scout the trail. If I finished, I didn't do that. He did, and he disappeared. That invoked a massive search for me, who he implied was lost. His story didn't make much sense, so he's put it under house arrest. And then many Boy Scout leaders don't think about this, too. Very important that the group stick together, and someone has to look after that. K6YNW.
Oh, good point there, Chris. Appreciate that. And I got to say one thing, I do not have any contacts with the scouts or explorers or whatever. Very good groups, Civil Air Patrol, another good group. All these are great groups out there. We need to let them know that ham radio is one of the tools they do need to learn. It's not, shouldn't be an option. I know it is an option, and that's the way it's going to be. But if you're going to be out there, I was really impressed with the coverage of this repeater when I first set up my Jeep. And I was out there way off on Burns Canyon Road. Couldn't even see anything to do with where the repeater was. Came in just perfectly fine. Very impressive. And with our repeater as it is, with this huge, huge footprint, gives us the advantage of helping. We have a great amount of QSOs we can do with people, have a lot of fun, but when it's somebody gets stranded out there, I think it's a great thing that this repeater exists. We can help people. We've probably already saved lives we don't even know about. Anyway, anybody else out there with comments? We're getting close to the end of the net, so please come back to KF6Q. All right, anyway, anybody who wants any further information on this, please feel free to email me at KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. Don't spell that out, it won't go through. KF6Q at ARRL.net. And send me an email, I'll forward you a link to this article. We're going to go through this probably next week. Very good. It's a breakdown, a good outline of operating your ham radio in an emergency, all the way from just an incident that happened up to having a very full-on disaster. So, and we may even get into that with the ARES errors, and we have RACES, we have ECS, we have CERT, we have a lot of groups out there. We may cover that in the third week. So, anyway, let me reset here real quick. Once again, I do appreciate everybody who has listened in. And it's been a great net, I think. We always try to get some topics out there to help save lives, help promote ham radio. This time of year in the summer, a lot of things can happen. So, but I appreciate everybody out there participating and checking in, and hope to see you again next Tuesday. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control. for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at almost 2,800 hours. We'll just call it 2,800 hours. Returning the repeater to normal use, and I once again want to thank everybody who helped out there. As always, I will stay on here for any off-the-net questions. So, y'all take care. Appreciate you being out there. KF6Q, and we'll be clear.